Have you ever had one of those times when you just feel like you need to pinch yourself? You just want to make sure that it's real? Praise God, I'm in one of those places right now. Would you pray with me as we begin? Lord, I thank you so much. I thank you so much for your amazing grace. I thank you for the people that you've put in my life. I thank you for Kim. I thank you for Griffin and Monet and Silas and Gideon, the miracles that you've given us. And I thank you for our Bridge family. Amen. And that I can truly use the word family and mean it. Oh, it's a common word, Lord, but it's an uncommon truth. May our love and our light be inspirational, that others will see that while this narrow path is not easy, you are worth it. Amen. And that when we compromise and rationalize, we lose the authentic. Lord, let us never be willing to settle for anything less than you and your authentic call to be the church, to be your family. Let us see clearly all that you have done as best we can, that we will embrace all that you've called us to with a joyous attitude. No have to, but all get to.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Well, let me ask you a question as we begin this morning. What's the greatest before and after picture or story you've ever seen or heard? You know what I'm talking about, that radical before and after. I tell people I make a great before picture when it comes to God's graces. Think about it. I was researching last night. I was looking. You know, there are people that have lost upwards of 1,000 pounds. As one who has struggled with weight my whole life, I had a certain affinity to that. Maybe you're one that likes some of these modern TV shows that the folks come in and they buy an absolute wreck of a home. And before you know it, a few weeks later, this place looks like the Taj Mahal. For you personally, what's the best before and after picture or story you've ever seen? What comes to mind? Well, here's what I pray you'll take home. One that I studied with this week said these words: at one time in our lives, we were a spiritual corpse, controlled by our sin nature, Satan, and the world. We were condemned with no hope, no future, none whatsoever. But, and here's our text for today, when the loving kindness of our God and Savior appeared. Amen. Fill in the blank with your story, Christian, from here on out. You and I are the greatest testimonies we have to the glory and the grace and the gospel of Jesus Christ. My prayer is, if not based on last week's message from Titus 3:3, perhaps through the reminding of today, you'll be able to say, I think I am the greatest before and after picture I can think of. He saved a wretch like me. He saved a wretch like me. Now, maybe you are like some that I know and love here, and you say, but I was saved at a very young age. Oh, make no mistake. The potential in the wretch in you was beyond your imagination. So whether he got us later in life, praise God, or if he got you early, make no mistake, it's all of grace what he's done. And today is a day where we're going to worship him for that truth. And I tell you that if you were here last week and you saw Titus 3:3, and maybe you were like one of the many who reached out to me and said, hey, that's powerful. That media, whew, man, those videos, that was powerful. My prayer is that today you'll say even more. That was more powerful than what I saw yesterday. And here's the thing. It's going to be all worship. Pure worship. If last week you struggled with all the grace that was given, right? If David Wood receiving grace gave you trouble, you got trouble with grace. Amen. You got trouble with the gospel. Because we're all David Wood. And if you don't think so, I pray that God talks to you today. Amen. Amen. We're going to continue our series in Titus, the series that I've entitled Live the Truth. And we're going to continue in chapter 3. I told you, if you remember, chapter 1, you could summarize it this way: be real. identify the lovers, the leaders, and the liars in life. Chapter 2, we could summarize in be righteous. And the Lord showed us how we are to be a family, how we are to love one another. And as we entered into chapter 3, 2 weeks ago, I said to you, you could summarize it with be real. And we saw week 1, where God's word says, remind them how they are to love the lost. And then last week, when we looked at verse 3, the Lord says, remember, you were the lost. And be empathetic and humble as you love. Amen. Well, today we're going to look at verses 4 through 7. And we're going to see just exactly how this all comes to be. And we will, I tell you up front in verse 4, we'll see that you and I are to exalt Christ. If you appreciate who you were and you understand who you are, you need to exalt Christ. Now, for many, they'll say, but I don't get all this. Well, praise God, because verses 5 and 6, they're going to explain Christ. And then we'll close in verse 7, and you and I will see that we've been called and privileged to exemplify Christ, not based on your or my hard work, but based on the grace of Almighty God. Whether we're David Wood or Jeff Pearson or anybody else you know, it's all of grace. All of grace. Now, I found this to be very interesting and very very profound. When we look at verse 4, now remember, in verse 3, we got 7 specific portraits of who we were before Christ. Verse 4 sets up verse 5 and 6, and then verse 7 gives us kind of the crescendo. One theologian described verse 4 this way. He said, it's a gracious interruption. What a beautiful way. I met a copywriter this weekend, and I listened to her speak, and I heard her a couple of times use very eloquent words. She talked about the stench of sweat, and she said, sweat hung in the air. And I thought, well, that's a nice way to say that. Here, this theologian says, when you think of verse 4, Titus 3:4, it's a gracious interruption. Let's read it together, then we'll unpack it. God's word says, but. So here we have an eternal contrast. The but of verse 4 says, you know who you used to be, but. Here's the contrast of who you are, Christian. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared. Friends, I pray in verse 4, you and I will see that Christ is to be exalted. Jesus is God. If you have any difference between who you were and who you are, it's because Jesus Christ saved your soul. Jesus is God. This word loving kindness in the Greek, it comes from one word that's a compound word. The word is built on phileo and anthropos. It's the place from which we get the word philanthropy. It's an affection, a loving affection towards humanity. So understand this. When our God and Savior appeared, he came not only with goodness, but with a love for humanity. Some of you need to know that. Some of you need to hear it. I know there are some within the sound of my voice that don't believe that they're lovable. Don't believe that with all that they've done, that the God of creation would actually love them. Oh, he might tolerate me, but he doesn't love me. God's word says he loves you. He loves me. And note this, there hasn't been any change yet. He loves you exactly where you are. This is what sets the stage for grace. It says, but when the loving kindness of God, our Savior, arrived. Jesus is God. That's first things first. Understand this, that Jesus loves the lost. Some of you don't love the lost. You need to love the lost. Jesus loves the lost. Now, Jesus loves the found as well. Jesus loves us all. And all of us are to love all people. Not that we're all going to end up in the same place, but that we start at the same place, that place of grace. Now listen to Luke in verse 35 of chapter 6, because again, I know some will be challenged. He himself, Christ, is kind to ungrateful and evil men. Well, where does that come from? Well, that's the gospel. See, because you and I were unkind, evil people. You and I were God haters. You and I were equivalent to the pagans. That's where he came and got us. That's where we need to go. In Ephesians 2, excuse me, verses 4 through 7, we pick up, if you remember last week, we looked at verses 1 through 3. It's where we got empathetic. We saw who we used to be. Listen to verses 4 through 7, summarized and highlighted. God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us even when we were dead in our transgressions and sins. He loved you and me when we were lost. He came for you and me when we were lost. I want you to know, as you exalt Christ, you understand this platform. You can't explain Christ until you exalt Christ. You've got to put him where only he belongs. You see, he has saved you and me. The first three words of verse 5, he saved us. He saved us. Friends, if you're a Christian, you need to know and celebrate the fact that he saved you. He saved us from our sin, from ourselves, and from our slavery to fears and faithlessness. And every one of us had him. Every single one of us. He saved us. And I want to share with you a song of worship that says we are no longer slaves because he saved us. If you remember verse 3 and who you were, celebrate today who you are, Christian, because he saved us. We are no longer slaves to sin, selfishness, or the slavery of fear and faithlessness. Praise God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Listen to this song. Lose yourself in it and worship our King, I pray.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song. Songs of
Again, I come to you and I just ask you to bask in the blessing of knowing the truth. If you'll exalt Christ, you'll understand verse 5 and 6 where now we explain Christ. But let me just point out, if you don't exalt him, you won't get the explanation. The greatest challenge to humankind is pride and an unwillingness to surrender to the victory that only comes in Christ. Listen to verse 5 and 6. He saved us. He saved us. Not because of works done by us. It has nothing to do with you, Christian. You did nothing but receive amazing grace. You get zero credit for your salvation. You've got to understand this, because I'll tell you what, the church has a sneaky way of getting prideful and pompous and looking down on those lowly lost people out there and not realizing that verse 3 tells us, no, those people were us. And it's only that he saved us, not by any works of righteousness done by us. But, so if it wasn't our righteous works, what was it, Pastor Jeff? Don't ask me, let's ask the Lord. Oh, here it is. But according to his own mercy, you're saved because he didn't give you what you deserve. You're saved because he gave you grace. And he withheld from you what you deserve, the wrath of God. He drank that in the cup that you and I see at the cross. Not by any righteous works done by us, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. Friends, you and I were saved by grace through faith. In Christ alone, for the glory of God alone. All of his grace is all for his glory, right? If you don't understand grace, you won't give him glory. One of the theologians that I read this week said, if you don't understand that on your best day you had nothing to give God, then you've never been saved. You see, anything less than this understanding, you steal God's glory. You change his grace, which means it's no longer the gospel. And I don't care if you pastor. I don't care if you teach Sunday school. I don't care if you know Hebrew and Greek. If you don't get that it's all the grace, you're lost. And you desperately need somebody to love you enough to tell you so. Maybe that's happening today. If it's needed, I pray it is so. See, this is straightforward. Grace replaces pride. They cannot coexist spiritually. Either you saved you or he saved you. And I want to let you in on a little secret. If you did it, it didn't get done. If you did it, it didn't get done. It's all of grace. Think of Ezekiel 36, verses 25 through 27. And I want you to hear the I will voice of God. Amen. This is God speaking to people just like you and me. Prideful, pompous, religious, feeling like we got it going on because we know the in talk. We know the special inside handshake at the church. That's what God says. Not you, me. I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will sprinkle water on you and then you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities, from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will give you a new heart and I will put in you a new spirit. I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will place my spirit within you and cause you to follow my statutes. You don't even obey because of you. We can't do it on our own. Every ounce of salvation and sanctification is the work of grace. We simply say, yes, Lord, and thank you. And then, oops, forgive me when we stumble. This is the Christian life. If you and I would understand it, number one, we'd represent him properly instead of representing ourselves. We would be a true witness. And in that humility would come genuine worship. Amen. And this is what is called for. And again, if you don't understand and accept the grace, you won't give him glory. The reason why that's a problem for so many is because it requires a death to self. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live. We got a lot of folks still living in the church. And that's why folks aren't attracted in large part, because they see the hypocrites instead of the holy. They see a lot of self-righteous, puffed up people who know the lingo but lack the love. Oh, that we would get this. I will place my spirit within you and cause you to follow my statutes and carefully observe my ordinances. He goes on and says here in this same verse that salvation, it's a gift of mercy. I didn't give you what you deserved. I gave you grace and blessing. It comes through the washing of regeneration that the Holy Spirit does. Regeneration is another way of saying born again, right? Jesus said you need to be born again. Regeneration happens because it's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's grace. That's his gift. Regeneration happens because the Son sets you free, right? Regeneration happens, and when it does, you're a new creation. And get this, no matter how dark your heart was, after the gift of regeneration, you're as white as snow. Amen. And I say to you again, there are many, many within the sound of my voice that need to be told, promised, that if you'll say yes, Lord, to the miraculous gift of grace, you too will be washed as white as snow. Doesn't make sense now, but I promise you on the other side of the cross, you'll get it. The blood of Christ washes you clean, as white as snow. This is what we see. He tells us that salvation is through the fruit of the Holy Spirit's renewal. If you look at Ephesians 1, 13 and 14, you'll see this expanded. I don't have time to take you there now, but again, think of this. The Holy Spirit gives us spiritual life. That's what we just saw. It's the Holy Spirit that gives us spiritual life. The Spirit also sustains our spiritual life. He empowers our spiritual life. And he guarantees that our spiritual life will be turned into eternal life. It's all of him, because the Holy Spirit is both the seal and the guarantee. You see, his promises are our guarantees. This is what we see in verses 5 and 6. And check this out. In verse 6, I love this. If you don't look carefully, you'll probably miss it. But you see that the entire Trinity of God is active in salvation. This is verse 6. Whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior. The whom? That's the Holy Spirit from verse 5. He? That's God the Father. Through whom? God the Son, Jesus Christ our Savior. Salvation is theologically grounded in the Trinity of Almighty God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Our God reigns. We serve an awesome God. We sang it this morning. See this, friends. See it. And the Holy Spirit, he's poured out. It's like Pentecost. But note this, and literally the words mean, and bring you back to Acts 2, to Pentecost. But he says, poured out on us. You know what's great about that? It's the same wording, same theological truth as at Pentecost, but on us means it's for all of us, right? Paul and Titus, they weren't at Pentecost, best we know. So what we have here is a promise that the same power in the pouring out, it's for all of us. We're in the us. And he does it richly or generously. That means you get an overabundance of what you need. Peter said it this way, you have received everything you need for life and godliness. That's proven in Titus 3, verse 6. It's Acts 1, 8, you will receive power. How much power? Enough power to witness to the world.
Amen.
That's Titus 3, verse 6. This is what you have. This is such a crescendo passage. I pray that it blesses you so, so much. And all of it comes, as is said here, through Christ. You can't get this anywhere else. You can't buy it. You can't earn it. You can't stumble upon it. It comes through Christ alone, right? Pastor Mike's life verse, John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This promise, through Christ alone. You got friends that want to talk to you about other ways? Let them know with all the love in your heart. You're dead in your sins. You need Christ alone. There is no hope in any other way. This is what we see in verse 6. When you get this, when you exalt Christ and you get the biblical explanation of Christ, you begin to understand your change. You begin to understand that you're not who you were. And you stop pointing fingers at those that are still like who you were, and you start extending a hand.
Amen.
Hear me, some of you. You go from liking them to loving them.
Amen.
Because you realize, there but for the grace of God go I. I've been redeemed. I understand it's all of grace. And I want to be an ambassador of that grace. Now, it comes with truth. There's no mushy, soft sides to this. It's truth and love. But I want desperately to champion truth and love. Because as I exalt Christ and Christ has been explained to me, I want to exemplify Christ. I want to be like my daddy. Right? You'll see in a minute. If you're a Christian, you're an heir. Right? Sons and daughters do what daddy does. If you're truly an heir, you're going to do what daddy does. You're going to love the lost. You're going to love them.
Amen.
Watch this again. Lose yourself in the words. See yourself in this song. And celebrate that the truth applies to you, Christian.
Hey, I'm Mike Weaver from Big Daddy Weave, and this is the story behind our song, Redeemed. I've struggled a lot in my life with the issues of personal acceptance and self-worth, and during a really low point in that struggle, I remember being down in my garage, which is kind of my man cave, the place where I do all my thinking and I work out down there, and it was like the Holy Spirit just invaded that space and said, Mike, why don't you let me tell you what I think about you? Why don't you let me share with you the way that I see you? And I was an absolute broken heap on the floor of my garage as the God of the universe began to show me in my heart and in my mind how he sees me and share with me the way that he feels about me. That changed something in my life that day. God redefined humility for me. I had always thought that humility was this self-deprecating thing, but God showed me that what real humility is simply agreeing with whatever he says about anything. And over my life as a child of God, as someone who has been ransomed by the blood of Jesus, when he looks at me, he says, redeemed.
Seems like all I could see was the struggle. Haunted by ghosts that lived in my past, bound up in shackles of all my failures, wondering how long is this gonna last. Then you look at this prisoner and say to me, son, stop fighting a fight, it's already been won. And I am redeemed. used to be, I am redeemed. I'm redeemed. All my life I have been called unworthy. Named by the voice of my shame and regret. When I hear you whisper, child, lift up your head. I remember, oh God, you're not done with me yet. And I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains. Now I'm not who I used to be, because I don't have to be the old man inside of me, cause his day is long dead and gone. Because I've got a new name, a new life, I'm not the same, and a hope that will carry me home. I am redeemed. Shake off these heavy chains and wipe away every stain. Cause I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains and wipe away every stain. Now I'm not who I used to be.
You see why I said to you this morning, it's all about worship. For many, last week was tough. Looking at Titus 3:3 and saying, wow, that's a pretty ugly mirror, was tough because you didn't understand grace. That you struggled with grace being given and understanding the fullness of the gospel. But you see, if we'll exalt Christ, and if we embrace the biblical understanding and explanation of Christ, then the next natural step, you see, what flows out of biblical truth is biblical love. You'll want to exemplify Christ, because this is what you'll understand. Why in the world would God do this, right? Why in the world is this story that Pastor Jeff is telling me, well, that the Bible is telling me, why would this happen? And again, I take you to God and His Word. Listen to what the King says. Verse 7. So that, here comes. You want to know why? He would die that you could live, so that being justified. So I'm going to justify you, says Jesus. And note this, you don't earn justification. You get declared justified. The judge says, not just innocent, but righteous. All of this is so that being declared righteous by His grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Don't miss this. I've told you many times, the purpose of your salvation is to bring God glory through living out the great commandments, the great commission, and the context of the great conflicts. And that is the purpose. But if you want to know the origin, if you want to know the motivation behind your salvation, we've seen it in today's passage. It's the goodness and the loving kindness of God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. The reason why you have salvation, Christian, is because he loves you. Because of his merciful goodness. He's motivated by love and mercy and grace. By his grace. So that you and I, Christian, will know the life of an heir. Of God and with Christ. If that does not bring you to a place of worship, you just don't get it. If that does not calibrate your heart to say, I just want to live all in. I just want to live sold out. Not because I have to. Oh my goodness, I get to. I've been adopted into the family of God. In the midst of my sin and rebellion, he came and got me. When I deserved wrath, he gave me grace and love and mercy and eternal life. Sign me up. Where do I go? How do I get plugged in? Lord, use me. Lord, pour me out. Please, I want to know the joy of a journey with Jesus that looks like my King and celebrates what I've been given. Amen. Eternal life. Eternal life. That's a forever promise for the faithful. It's a forever promise for the faithful. To know unimaginable joy to be in the presence of Almighty Jesus. I want to ask you, when was the last time you seriously thought about, invested your mind, if not your heart, in the understanding of forever, eternal life with Christ? You get short-sighted on your understanding of this promise, and you'll get short-sighted in your here and now. You take the long view, as is shared here in Titus verse 3 through 7 of chapter 3, and I promise you, you'll take the long view with your invested life. I want to show you one last closing song of worship that brings to us the reminder, and remember, that's where we started in chapter 3. Remind them, remind them, remind them. Urge them to remember, to realize, and to respond. To exalt Christ. To accept the biblical explanation of Christ. And then to celebrate the gift of being able to exemplify Christ forever. Watch this. And please find yourself in this song, or pray that it would be so, and then we'll close.
Form a thought that could adequately describe the greatness of my God. And my lungs have not yet developed the ability to release a breath with enough agility to breathe out the greatness of His love. And my voice, you see, my voice is so inhibited, restrained by human limits, that it's hard to even send the praise up. You see, if there are words for Him, then I don't have them. My God, His grace is remarkable. Mercies are innumerable. Strength is impenetrable. He is honorable, accountable, favorable. He's unsearchable yet knowable. Indefinable yet approachable. Indescribable yet personal. He is beyond comprehension, further than imagination. Constant through generations, King of every nation. But if there are words for Him, then I don't have them. You see, my words are few. And to try and capture the one true God using my vocabulary would never do. But I use words as an expression of worship to a Savior who is both worthy and deserving of my praise. So I use words. My heart extols the Lord, blesses His name forever. He has won my heart, captured my mind, and has bound them both together. He has defeated me in my rebellion, conquered me in my sin. He has welcomed me into His presence, completely invited me in. He has made Himself the object of my sight, flooding me with mercies in the morning, drowning me with grace in the night. But if there are words for Him, then I don't have them. But what I do have is good news. For my God knew that man-made words would never do. For words are just tools that we use to point to the truth. So He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, as the Word, living proof. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created, giving nothing this formation. And by his word he sustains in the power of his name. For he is before all things, and over all things he reigns. Holy is his name. So praise him for his life. He persevered in strife, the humble Son of God becoming the perfect sacrifice. Praise him for his death, that he willingly stood in our place, that he lovingly endured the grave, that he battled our enemy, and on the third day rose in victory. He is everything that was promised. Praise him as a risen king. Lift your voice and sing, for one day he will return for us, and we will finally be united with our Savior for eternity. Eternity. So it's not just words that I proclaim, for my words point to the word, and the word has a name. Hope has a name. Joy has a name. Peace has a name. Love has a name. And that name is Jesus Christ. Praise his name forever.
And honestly say, I want to exalt Christ. I want to explain Christ to the lost. I want to love him, love them, and do it as heirs of hope of eternal life. And Christian, here's the thing. If you live as heirs with this hope, you're not hoping for a winning lottery ticket. What you have is a guarantee from Almighty God through the blood-bought gospel of Jesus Christ. There is nothing more sure that has ever been or will ever be. And if you are a Christian, it is because of Christ. He saved us. And now we live. Amen. He died that we would live as heirs, rightly understanding that every aspect of our radical change has come from the cross and was proven in the resurrection. Oh, that we would be this church. Friends, I ask you to champion Titus 3, verses 3 through 7. I beg you to champion what you've been given. To champion your Christ as the ambassadors and the aroma that you've been purchased to be. And accept nothing less, I pray. Would you pray with me? Oh, Lord Jesus, we thank you from the very bottoms of our hearts, the hearts that you bought, the hearts that you gave life to, the hearts that long for you. Oh, Lord, if there's any that are not truly longing for you, are not truly loving you, not truly living for you, then I pray that on this day, Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 7, when you encapsulate last week, Lord, use your word as you have said to awaken the hearts, that faith comes by hearing. Today your word was heard. Amen. Bring to life those that are dead, I pray. Lord, as I shared yesterday, Faith comes by hearing. Peace comes by obeying. Bring peace through faithful obedience and your miraculous grace, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, the worship team.